Welcome to the Recruitment Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Tom Birkinshaw, and today we are joined by co-founder and CEO of Roy AI and Prominence, Chris South. Chris started his career as a recruitment consultant working in the oil and gas industry globally for 8 years while living in America. In 2012, Chris decided to launch his first business, Prominence, a marketing agency to support recruiters and recruitment businesses after seeing a gap in the market where he could help recruitment companies build their brands more effectively. Since 2012, Prominence has seen fantastic growth, now operating globally with 14 heads. While building Prominence, Chris saw repetitive pain points and missed opportunities where recruitment companies weren't monetizing their very own database. This led to the formation of Roy AI. Chris takes us through the importance of automation, how AI will impact recruiters this year, and how it should be seen as a support function and not a replacement tool in recruitment. Chris, thanks very much for joining us on our podcast today. It's great to have you.
Yeah, absolutely thrilled to be here. Thanks very much.
So Chris, you're CEO of Roy AI. Obviously it's not spelled Roy, well, Roy as in ROI.AI. Run us through the name quickly.
Yeah, it's one I get all the time. And it started off because we wanted a product that was all about return on investment. So that was the whole ROI thing. But it just got too hard and a bit of a mouthful. So Roy is what everyone calls it.
I'm surprised actually the URL wasn't taken, because you would think the amount of people in sales culture and businesses and talk about ROI, well, return on investment, that would have been snapped up. So I think you've done well grabbing that.
And we were very shocked when we found it, and I think I've got every single country ROI.au, ROI.uk, just to make sure.
And on that, you're based out in New Zealand.
Yep.
How long have you been out there for?
Oh, since 2006, so yeah, a fair while now. Obviously, we're in the UK at the moment. I'm loving my time over here for the last couple of months as well.
Yeah, you've been here for 2-3 months now.
Yeah, it's been great.
So before you were out in New Zealand, tell us a bit of the backstory that led to setting up Roy AI. What did you do before that?
Yeah, so my background originally, like most people in the recruitment industry, was recruitment. And then 2012, I think it was, maybe a bit later, I set up a marketing agency for recruiters, which I still run. And that's been going really, really strong across a number of countries.
And that's Prominence, isn't it?
That's Prominence, yeah, exactly. And we just had this ongoing battle in that company, in that our customers, the recruiters, would say to us, hey, we've got a massive database of candidates, and to a certain extent clients, but we've got no way to do anything with that data, and the data's just dead, you know, the stereotypical recruitment graveyard. And so we were trying to activate that graveyard by using things like Zapier, MailChimp, ActiveCampaign, and plugging those into the likes of Bullhorn, JobAdder, Vincere, all the recruitment databases. But we were having no joy. It was too hard to do. The results were shocking.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where I sat down with one of my partners and said, you know, we need to do something about this. At that point, Roy was born.
So when you say you were in recruitment, were you a recruitment consultant?
For my sins, yes.
Were you?
Yeah. Managed a team of IT recruiters for a bunch of years, and then oil and gas recruiters in America for a couple of years as well.
Did you? So global experience. And how long did you do the recruitment consulting for?
7 or 8 years.
Okay. And how long in America?
Two. Yeah. That was an eye-opener.
Was it? Very different to the UK market.
Incredibly so. And oil and gas, so it was... less recruitment, more exec search, that type of thing. So a bit of a learning curve, but really, really good fun. But at that point, I realised I wanted to do something else, and the marketing side was born.
And that's where Prominence came out of then that?
Yeah.
So what, at the time, I guess, going back, you know, especially from my point of view, is that's quite a big shift being a recruiter, effectively. And then, obviously, there's connections, and you're doing that marketing day in, day out, you know, especially in today's market, that personal branding, that company branding. So it's not like you didn't have any marketing experience, but kind of, it must have been quite a nervous leap to go from the sales side to the marketing side. Yes, same sector, but it's still quite a different industry to do that with.
Yeah, you're kind of right on a lot of points. I mean, I did a bit of marketing at uni, so I had some knowledge. Mm-hmm. And when I was working in America, I actually had a really, really good marketing director, and I saw the impact she had on the business over there.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal, the buy-in that she got from the directors of the business. And I saw how successful that had been in what was a fairly small agency over there that was part of a big global agency overall. And I thought, okay, well, if it could be so successful there, it's got to work on this side of the world, being New Zealand, Australia. And when I started looking around, most small and medium agencies just have no marketing function at all. And I figured we could offer that service, right?
Yeah, and I think that's when you look at, and especially when we talk about recruitment entrepreneur, which we'll get onto in a little bit, is, you know, when you're launching a business, there's job boards, there's systems, there's HR, IT, tech, marketing. You know, there's a lot of outputs financially that you've got to consider. Mm. And obviously, I think, you know, when you touch on the kind of the small to medium businesses, I think there's 70 to 80,000 recruitment companies in the UK at the minute, in the last couple of years from latest stats. And I think there's probably 5,000 or 6,000 every year starting up for various reasons. People, you know, want to go off and do it on their own. There's financial ups and downs that people kind of get forced to hand. But it's made it an uber competitive industry. But going back to your point on the marketing front is, how do you run a recruitment business? You know, even just as a recruitment consultant, do all your marketing and do everything else. And I guess that obviously what has led to prominence. In terms of that business, then, before we jump on to Roy, what was the impact of that? Then obviously you talked about your, you know, that marketing director at the time having that impact on you. Was that transfer then relatively easy? Did you have a good sort of like pickup when you started prominence?
Yeah, interesting. Just before we go into that, talking about the generalist versus specialist thing, one thing I think is pretty obvious to most out there these days, you know, when a customer in the prominence world comes to us and says, I'm a generalist, we cower in the corner in dread, because you just can't market a generalist agency, because if someone's a specialist, you can easily make them above the big corporates because they're so niche and so specialist. So like for anyone setting up, I'd always say, go specialist as much as you can. In terms of setting up prominence, it's a bit of an eye-opener. I was lucky I had a pretty strong network from my recruitment days, and a lady I know who's still a client of prominence actually basically said, yep, we'll take a punt and we'll give it a go, and we'll let you learn with us. And so we did maybe 6 months with them as an exclusive customer. I said it was me and someone working in my conservatory. So
like all good businesses starting up.
Exactly. And she let us get used to it and figure out what worked. And you know, most stuff that works in real world marketing, not recruitment, doesn't really transition across so well, because in recruitment we're dealing with candidates and clients, and we're not really selling a product per se. It's more, well, a person, right? And to the person we've got to sell the job. So it's, even though there are traditional marketing techniques we employ, there's a lot of it that's very, very specific to recruitment. And I think what won us the business is the fact we understood recruitment. That got us in the door 99% of the time, and then we just applied regular marketing techniques, which then got results. But it grew really, really quickly initially, and it got up to a fairly big size, and then like all businesses, we started getting growing pains and all that sort of thing. But now I think it's coming up to 40 employees across 5 countries. So it's, you know, it's been a real success story, and pretty proud of what we've achieved with it.
And then obviously the benefit of that, talking about kind of it being obviously service led and being bespoke to new sectors ideally, is then finding that pain point and creating a product off the back of that, which is, you know, an absolute dream, isn't it?
It's perfect. And as a kid, like, I've always been incredibly entrepreneurial. I wanted to be, put it that way. I always dreamed of working in software, so to actually run a software company is my dream. It's the thing I always wanted to do, and it is as fun as it's also incredibly hard work, but it's as fun as you sort of think it might be, just taking nothing and suddenly ending with a product. I remember when I was demoing Roy to people first, and I was just using a slide deck because we didn't actually have a product, just to show the different slides of what it would be and where it would go, and people's eyes were getting super excited about the concept. And then it was like, okay, you can't have this for 3 months, that sort of conversation. But as it sort of come to fruition, and people start doing things and getting results, even you know, some of the results we've seen within the recruitment entrepreneur group, just hearing the feedback, it just makes you smile all the time, because
it's a pride thing. Absolutely.
Of course.
I mean, you're still a very young man, and you've done recruitment, you've done marketing, and now you're in software. It's quite a diverse career you've had in the last decade or so.
You've got a few grey hairs.
At least you can see yours. So then jumping on to Roy then, obviously you found that niche through a pain point. It's predominantly about automation. Did you ever think at any point that you'd have difficult conversations with any recruitment company? Or obviously this year, you know, end of last year, we talk about AI, automation's become quite popular, you know, particularly in recruitment as well, is going, oh, there's a lot of, not negativity, but it's, hang on a minute, I've got recruitment consultants that can do this. Were you prepared for like the negative side of it, going, well, actually, we don't need your product because we do have humans that can do it? And how did you get around that?
It's a really great question, and one I prepared for, but we haven't had it. We just don't, you know, once we show the product and what it can do and where it fits in, there really isn't any pushback around, hey, our recruiters should be doing that. I think it's universally accepted that recruiters are incredibly busy people of a certain stereotype. You know, that a certain type of person is generally a recruiter who's busy, well, they're just busy.
Yeah.
And so the administrative side of things generally falls by the wayside unless they're a super duper recruiter.
It's normally the first thing to drop off, isn't it? I mean, even in general people's life, it's in life admin, it's the admin that drops off first.
I was guilty of it when I was absolutely. A recruiter. It's just life. so what we're doing is, you know, is we're picking up the stuff that the recruiters miss or don't get to or don't want to deal with and doing that work for them. So it's not like we're replacing the function, it's making them more efficient. That's what it's all about.
So then, obviously we'll talk about automation a bit more, but give us an overview then for the listeners, kind of a dummy's guide of, you know, that pain point that then led to Roy, and what is an overview that does for recruiters?
Yeah, okay, so the primary motivator for Roy was to clean the database, so to get some value out of the candidate profiles that are sat on the database. So that's where we started from. So the main automation, effectively, it looks at that database and it finds people on there who meet certain trigger conditions. So what we mean by triggers, I mean, you know this stuff, but for everyone else that may not, is we're looking at things like how old is that record on the database? You know, how long has it been there? When was the last time someone spoke to it?
Yeah.
Or them. You know, are they active or inactive? That sort of stuff. And it then builds an audience based on the trigger criteria. So in this scenario of getting someone to update their details, we might say, well, find us everyone we haven't spoken to in 6 months. We haven't already placed them. And we haven't been in contact with them via a mailer or anything for 6 months. And so they then go into this audience. And from there, you've then got some choices in terms of how you want the automation to connect with those people. You know, it might be through text message, might be through email, might be a combination of both. Soon, hopefully, and we'll chat about this later, but hopefully it'll be WhatsApp as well that we can go out on as well.
Yeah.
And then from there, that person is sent communication. A real differentiator here is it comes from the individual recruiter that's relevant to them, based on the job out of database. And then they can either reply saying, hey, thanks, or no thanks, whatever, or they can link to a chatbot where they can enter their details really easily, and that updates into the database, and then the recruiter's notified that that's happened. One thing that I found really interesting here is we thought it'd be very blue-collar focused. You know, blue-collar people may be more likely to engage with something like a chatbot. It's been the complete other end of the spectrum. It's the white-collar world, and it seems to be that, you know, a CFO or someone, they don't want to pick up the phone and speak to a recruiter, but give them a form that takes 60 seconds. They'll do that, so the job's done. Send that back and move on to the next thing. So we've seen really good response across the spectrum, but a lot more white collar than we expected.
And I think it's important to note as well, and you kind of touched on it, was, you know, the system that you've built creates that two-way API. You know, in a world where, you know, particularly in my role, you're inundated with new tech, new ideas, the magic silver bullet that will make everyone recruitment millionaires overnight, and, you know, predominantly, everyone runs off their CRM. That's where the clients are, that's where the candidates are. And obviously, you've got to outsource other techs. You know, CRMs don't do everything. But at the same time, if you're juggling 10 bits of tech, to the point earlier that we made was on the admin side, it's just going to get lost by the wayside. And I think one, you know, massive thing for how we found it is they can still go into their CRM and see the updates. You know, even if they weren't proactive on Roy that day, that information that's come back is then notified in the CRM our end, which has made a big difference. So the uptake on Roy, when you saw, how many years has it been going now?
Well, we only actually went to market and started charging customers a year ago, pretty much to the day. We obviously had beta customers in there sort of 6 months prior to that, so it's, you know, it's pretty new in the grand scheme of things, but it feels like it's been around forever because it took 2 or 3 years to actually develop it and get it to market prior to that. But yeah, it, you know, it's only a year old.
So how many clients and countries are you in at the minute?
Just gone over 70 customers, Australia, New Zealand, Philippines, America, Canada, South Africa, and obviously the UK. So a real spread, APAC in here.
So going forward then, with obviously what you're, you know, I'm imagining you've got a pretty good software roadmap for development this year. You touched on WhatsApp obviously potentially being part of that, you know, when a world where there's over X amount of billion of users on WhatsApp, obviously that's a sensible choice. Generally speaking then, away from Roy, how do you see the automation in the recruitment sector progressing this year?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. What I might do is just go back one step there, because obviously I explained the being able to update the detail side of things, but there's a lot more that automation can now do even in the year, so when we launched a year ago, that was one of only a handful of things that it could do.
Yeah.
There's a lot more that has come into the platform even in the last year. So, you know, some of the most important stuff is like customer success, how to manage and look after your customers, helping people source candidates, sending nurture campaigns out to clients. And we've really seen a big demand for that the last 3 or 4 months as the market sort of swung the other way a little bit.
Yeah.
People want to do nurture campaigns out to customers, you know, hey, here's some great candidates, wait a couple of days, hey, here's some more great candidates. So we've found there's a million different uses for the automation technology we've got within the recruitment databases. So that, to answer your question there, that's really been the focus and is going to be the focus going forward, is how can we use the tech that we've got to trigger based on different behaviors to achieve different outcomes for the recruiters using the same actual technology.
Yeah,
we might have new channels like WhatsApp, but what else can we do? And a good example of that is the job workflow. You know, as a recruiter, you get lots of applications always coming in through the job boards and LinkedIn and all that sort of stuff. But you've then got to sit there and you've got to filter through them and try and decide which one's right and then manually phone them up and all that sort of thing. So we're moving more into the job part of that equation. So as an application comes in, they can be sent a survey. You know, we need to know these 3 or 4 questions, and depending on that result, they can either be moved into to be rejected, or they can be moved into shortlisted, and the candidate can be notified, hey, you've been shortlisted for this role, all without the recruiter having to touch it, which I think is really applicable for some of the blue collar world, but also the white collar world, not necessarily for the automation to make the decision about who goes to where, but to notify the candidate, hey, your details have just been submitted. Because you know yourself, right, as a candidate, the biggest frustration with recruiters is you go into a black hole, you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
Where it's just that little thing that says, hey, you've been submitted. They're like, oh yeah, they're still on it, it's great.
Yeah.
And so that's really our focus at the moment, is same tech, more solutions, more things that it can do for the recruiters.
And I think I was chatting to a CEO of ours based up in Scotland, and we were talking about kind of the dropout rate of candidates. And we weren't talking about Royal or any sort of like tech stuff, but we were talking about pain points of his business. He said, oh, it's actually surprising. And this was last year, kind of before the, I guess, softening in the market in Q4, that is kind of the generalized term that I think that everyone agrees with. And he was saying the amount of people, you know, especially depending on, you know, if you're looking at C-suite, like exec search, you know, we're on 3 months' notice, people drop out in kind of that final month.
Mm.
And it was because a lot of the time, recruiters thought, yeah, I've done my bit to start off with, you've built that rapport, you've been back and forth on 2, 3, 4 interviews, whatever the process is, with that particular client, and it's kind of like, done deal, my admin here is done, and arguably they're 8 weeks away from their notice period or whatever it is. And then that drop off just literally is off a cliff. And understandably, from a recruiter point of view, it's kind of a signed, sealed, delivered situation, and arguably you've probably got 20, 30 other clients, you've got 60, 70, 80 candidates that you're trying to process and have the same conversations with.
Mm.
And when we were in discussions, and I think we were talking about kind of the templates of how it can help, there are so many pain points. And I think you touched on it then, was you've developed your business, especially that softening in the market, and gone, actually, the product does what the product does, but obviously there's a whole lot of tech that can support a lot of evolution depending on, you know, the pain point, the newer pain points that are now that we've seen in Q4 and Q1. And I bring that up only because actually, you know, even today you're working on campaigns for one of our businesses, that multiple touch point, whereas before, arguably, and I wasn't a huge fan of this kind of type of marketing, is, you know, 4 or 5 emails, because you just become a bit spammy.
Mm-hmm, completely.
And I think not just recruiters, I think, you know, whether you're looking to buy a car, whether you're looking to buy a holiday, it's consistent. Everyone's old emails are now pretty much junk boxes, you know, and you might find someone who emails you. So it's really hard now to stand out from the crowd. And it is finding that balance in the landscape that we have today that's a little bit tougher. And we were with the CEO this morning that we were having this exact same conversation with, saying we need to do more now for our clients, you know, to showcase our candidates. And it's, oh, how do you do that? Because you're now adding even more work on, you're not just passing off a CV. I think in this day and age, you know, nobody really does that anyway.
No, definitely not.
But I think it's, well, what else do you do? How do you showcase that Joe Bloggs person who comes in with a great CV above and beyond, getting them through that process and then not turning off once it's been done? And it's that, you know, that automation in the background that we've started to set up for our businesses. And it's, you know, are you prepared? You know, if you've got 8 weeks to go, is there anything you need from us? 6 weeks to go, you know, a month to go. Do you know where you're starting? Do you remember your start date? And again, I couldn't, if I was a recruiter, I mean, I'd laugh if somebody asked me to do that, you know, that amount of work. So to see that kind of automation, and to your point earlier, you know, we've set it up, and in the last probably 2-3 weeks, we've had human responses to what, and it's not deceptive, what they believe is a human touch point.
Yeah.
And arguably it is, because, you know, we've invested in this technology financially, time-wise, to try and make that process better, a better experience for the candidate, and ultimately then for the client who gets the results that they want. Going forward then, do you see, I'd appreciate you're a year in, how does AI help going forward with what Roy could potentially do?
Yeah, interesting. And I think one of the things you were talking about that drop-off, I mean, even when I'm hiring for myself, as an employer, not as a recruiter, I forget I've got someone starting until a week before, and then I realise I've got to order their computers and that sort of stuff. So, you know, we're also seeing the capacity for Roy to work in the corporate space, and because of our main database partner, we've got a natural into the corporate space. So, you know, reminding the end employer, hey, someone's coming to start here.
Yeah.
But equally so, the recruiters could have something set, so that goes out to the client saying, hey, just a reminder that Joe Bloggs is going to start in a month's time.
Yeah.
So you're covering off both sides. I think that's really, really important. In terms of where the AI side of things is going, I mean, everyone's talking about ChatGPT
at the
moment. And I think that's going to have an impact. I think more really around, less involved with what Roy AI is doing, and more around efficiencies for recruiters, like writing job ads, maybe marketing spiel and that sort of stuff. But, you know, I wasn't very eloquent when I was a recruiter. I've got better in terms of my writing style, but just being able to chuck a few bullet points and get something out that's a bit more credible, I think that's it. That's pretty key. One thing that's, again, not necessarily AI related, but I definitely see video becoming more and more important for the customer marketing side of things. You know, there's quite a few products out there where you can do a video profile of an individual and then send that out to your customers, just a flashy CV really. But we, in Prominence and in Roy actually, we're starting to see more people promoting candidates with videos. So I think in the current economy that's probably going to become quite big.
And I think obviously COVID, we are all trying to put obviously behind us now, it's been a few years, but and I remember having the same conversations as this probably the year before, when you look at the big companies like LinkedIn and the algorithms that they were promoting of what is important, you know, whether it's blogs, original content was really high, obviously, and then it was about video. And so for the last 4-5 years, video has always been kind of king on algorithms and decent content, and people like watching it. Then obviously COVID happened and video took over, obviously Zoom in terms of the meetings, the face-to-face interviews, candidate and clients. And then really sharply after that, 100% agree, it was, okay, well, how do you differentiate yourself and stand out rather than just a bit of CV on a bit of paper? And yes, you can go from that to a Zoom call, but it was actually in a world which, you know, in the market, when COVID dropped off, and then we did see the market pick up really, really quickly, because obviously huge amount of redundancies, huge amount of job losses across all sectors. People did want to get back to real life really quickly. And a lot of businesses saw that actually they couldn't function effectively because they'd had to, rightly so, let people go. And I think kind of it was right. There was an abundance of candidates of all qualities, of all levels. And it was, how do you get those across as you as a recruiter to stand out when you're competing with 10 other recruiters potentially? And we saw, and I saw video, video CVs, bios becoming, dripping in. And I guess I haven't seen it take off as well as I thought. And I think Lender last year and this year, I think that is an extra part of, you know, especially what we're looking at with Roy is, and how easy now that is to drop that into automated messaging, emails and sequencing like that.
Yeah, completely. And you know, we're seeing people doing things as simple as, you said Zoom, do your Zoom interview with the candidate, record that interview.
Yeah.
And then just send that interview out to a customer and say, look, here's my interview. This is what I thought of it. This is what they said. You're almost bypassing the first round interview with, with that customer to a certain extent. But you're dead right. We've been in a market where, you know, if you've got a candidate, everyone wants them.
Yeah,
it's maybe not quite as that way anymore. So you've got to work a little bit harder and present people a little bit more. So I think video will come back in.
And on that point, again, going back to the CEO we met this morning, exactly that is, there are more jobs kind of cautiously confident, I think we phrased it. And I think where every year, you know, December, everyone kind of puts everything on pause, we'll start again in January, but the softening of the market last year, kind of, they did that from November.
Yeah.
And we saw a solid 2 months of that. And, you know, end of Q3, it was becoming apparent that that was going to happen potentially for all, you know, a variety of reasons. And then obviously it did, and there was talk about recession and things like that. So I think that's a really, really key point to remember going forward into this year, is recruiters are having to work hard for their wins. There are less skilled people. There are more nervous candidates looking to move. You just have to sit and watch the news for a week and it changes your mindset and you think, do you know what, I'm good here. So it's easily done. In your experience so far, you know, even with Prominence, but with Roy, are there any negative aspects? You know, automation is automating it, you know, this human error, obviously, that, you know, that's a big part of life. Automation isn't perfect. Have you had any cases of where it has backfired?
100%. I think it comes down to a couple of points. Automation in recruitment is relatively new.
Yeah.
So there's always a conversation on who manages it. And it's natural for a marketing person or an ops person within a recruitment agency, but quite often they don't have that function. So it falls on a director or someone like that. And if you don't have a dedicated resource, or at least someone whose part of their role is dedicated, you're only able to get a limited percentage of the value out of automation. It's the same with marketing, it's the same with anything. You've got to commit to doing something. So I'd say the worst thing I've seen is people get the tech, not specifically just talking about Roy, but other solutions out there that are wide ranging. And I think everyone's been guilty of this. You get the tech, you get excited about it, and then you don't commit to it.
Yeah, that's hugely.
It's not a mistake. It's just like nothing's gone wrong. It's just nothing's happened.
Yes.
So that's the biggest risk. Yeah, of course, even today, before I came here, I had a customer message me, who I'm really, really good friends with these days, and that they love the product, and they said, Chris, I've just sent the campaign out to my whole database because I forgot to select a folder, and it wasn't the entire database, but it was a good chunk of it. And it was a good campaign, so it was fine. But he just said, I simply forgot to send a folder and just wanted to chat about it because I'm sure you've done it before. I was like, yep, I've done that as well. And,
yeah.
You know, there's things in to stop you doing that, but if you click OK, so, and then he'll never do it again.
Yes.
I know in Prominence we've made that mistake before. On behalf of customers, and whoever's made the mistake has gone, I'm never doing that again, and it doesn't come around. So there's always human error in there, but I think the best thing if something like that happens is how you deal with it, right?
Yeah.
You go out back out to those people and you make fun of yourself a little bit, own your mistake and get back on it. But I don't think automation can really cause, you know, massive grievances for your business, because people accept in general that, you know, you've got to become more streamlined, you've got to automate things, and the odd mistake here or there. Well, it happens, but we need it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, do you know what, when you said that, it just reminded me, just to go slightly off tangent, I had a manager once. I won't name the manager. But, and it was kind of like, you know, back in the days of email marketing, where you were marketing out of your own email to all of our clients and put them on the, and didn't BCC them. So, and that was like a Friday night campaign that she'd sent out, and that Monday morning was quite stressful. Because everyone had everyone's email address. And obviously, thankfully, this is going back a long time. So it wasn't, GDPR wasn't as strict then. But now, you know, everyone listening to this, I'm sure, is aware of the weight of GDPR and the hoops that we all have to now jump through to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the only thing, I guess, it's a consideration for every bit of tech we talk. And I think, you know, I'll touch on the evolution of tech as well, is what, in my position, in my role, is what, trying to support businesses scale and grow, is what you don't want to lose is that personal touch. It's kind of a double-edged sword. It's like, oh, it's easy to say that, but when you're whacking 10, 20, 30, 40 heads over a year, 2 years, 4 years, whatever it ends up being, is there's got to be a bit of give and take. Like we've touched on before, you can't do everything, so automation does play a part, and trying to keep that as humanized as possible, and those conversations being as authentic and genuine, and not a is this good, yes, no, you know, bot type stuff that, you know, arguably a decade ago kind of existed because it was in its infancy.
Yeah.
For me, is a really, really big, important step that when we do use tech, and when we looked at Roy, we probably looked at it for about 6 months, I think, 4 to 6 months. How did it work? What was kind of, not the return on investment that it was going to bring to us, you know, because that's really hard to establish straight off the bat. But I think it's, if this is automated, it needs to be human to human. It needs to feel legitimate. It needs to help a process. I think, like we talked about, reducing the time to hire, you know, reducing the drop off from candidates and things like that. There's a phrase of doing more with less, I think, this year, which kind of is all a bit quirky and a bit cool, and you see it on all these blogs. And actually, I think in January, I was getting really frustrated because everything you'd hear is the softening the market, you know, marketers, CEOs, CFOs, we need to do more with less. And my opinion, rightly or wrongly, is actually, I don't agree with that. I think my point is, that replicates kind of what you said, is utilize your tool effectively. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all in the business to grow businesses and make money, more money at the end of the day. And if you're trying to do more with less, it's kind of saying, you've got two hands, but we're going to chop one off, but I want you to do double with one hand.
Yeah.
You know, it's a, in my opinion, it's a really dumb thing to say. I get why it's been coined and why you're trying to, you know, saving money and being more effective and efficient. I get that side of it. But arguably, and I had this chat with my CEO this morning, is we're not looking to cut corners on financially on money. We're streamlining what we do. That doesn't mean we're going to turn off tools and tech because we need the pounds. It's actually, to your point, and I 100% agree, and we are absolutely guilty of it, you know, and I said to my CEO, like, we do need to get back on our tech. We've got an incredible tech stack, a pick and mix tech stack that we offer to our CEOs. We've built that up last year when the market was good. We've had my digital marketing manager look after things, my content manager look after other, me doing other things and implementing. It's going, right, actually, let's evaluate those. They are brilliant tools, and we scrapped three or four last year because they weren't effective, but we added three or four more in. So we're not doing more with less. We're doing a hell of a lot more with what we've got. And I think that's, you know, whether it's a CMO, marketing director role, or anybody, to your point, is whoever's managing these bits of tech, the biggest problem with AI is, oh, it works, brilliant, let's leave it. And then suddenly the question is at the end of the year or budget review time is, great, well, it works, well, what did it bring into you? So, oh, well, you know, it was good. Yeah, really good. It's like, yeah, but quantifiable pounds, what difference does it make? And that's something, you know, that's a huge kind of focus for all of us, you know, in my team this year. And so it's not doing more with less, it's doing more with what you've got and doing it more effectively.
It's efficiency and ensuring you've got the right tech, right?
Yeah.
If there's something in there that doesn't quite work or do what you want it, then there might be something out there, and there's new tech coming in all the time. That's what I find, and you mentioned this already, so yeah, exciting, is you hear of new tech, you think, oh, wow, that's such a cool idea. That would benefit people in like so many ways.
Yeah.
So I think the role of a recruiter is just going to evolve, continue to evolve really quickly. And it's almost a recruiter's duty, and that's why recruitment entrepreneur can be really good, because you do this for the recruiters, is to keep evaluating the market, what's out there, what's going to work,
yeah,
and bring that into the recruiter's portfolio so they've got that there to use, because their job's still the same, but it can just be more efficient using the tech.
Absolutely. On that point, you've got a great product. We're rolling it out with five or six of our partners in the group. Have you seen people kind of look at your product and go, well, that was a bit obvious, like, you know, let's emulate that in a sense, you know, not to downgrade it, but like, it's just a common sense move. It's a great product, but have you seen competitors kind of come out the woodwork a little bit, try to replicate what you're doing?
Not so much. I think that the thing that we've really got in our favor is the niche and the level of integration, right? There's a million companies out there that do automation of some degree, but they don't niche it down, there's a term, isn't it? they don't drill down to such a level of recruitment. There's definitely people who are doing chatbots, as it were, but I don't really see Roy as a chatbot solution.
Yeah, of course.
Chatbot's just part of our product that we have. So there are a few others out there, and I think some of the big database providers have been caught short here because they don't have automation, quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of an arms race to either develop it themselves or get partnerships aligned and set up, and we've definitely had a few reaching out to us on that basis. So it works in my favour at the moment. There's a shortage, it stays that way, but you know, I'm not naive. Of course, there's going to be companies starting to do similar stuff fairly soon.
It's just consistently doing it better and evolving it.
That's it, and yeah, it took us a long while to get here, so
yeah.
One would hope we can stay ahead.
Well, stay ahead, and it's an exciting year ahead. Obviously, we've talked about the developments you've got going on this year. So I guess in summary, automation and AI has got definitely a space in the recruitment sector. And it's great to see that Roy is obviously kind of leading the charge on that with all its functionalities that we're rolling out specifically. So look forward to seeing what happens with Roy this year.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're loving like some of the CEOs and businesses like bringing it into the business and hearing the feedback that's coming from them. As I say, it's exciting for me personally, but it's just great for both sides of the equation to be getting some success out of it.
Yeah, completely agree. Chris, thanks very much for your time today.
All right, thank you very much for having me.
Cheers.